What up, what up, what up? Welcome, everyone. Thank you for listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. Welcome to my show, Ball is Life. I am your host, Jay Smooth. Thank you for listening. Today, I have a great show for you today. Today's topics that I will be talking about today are: which contender should Danny Granger sign with after being bought out from the 76ers? Jason Collins, we're going to also talk about Jason Collins, being the first openly gay player to play in the NBA or in a major sport in the United States. He debuted against the Lakers a couple nights ago, so we will talk about that. And why Pau Gasol and the Lakers need to part ways once the season's over. But first, let's get started with Danny Granger. Danny Granger, he was traded last Thursday from the Indiana Pacers to the Philadelphia 76ers. And for Evan Turner. And the 76ers decided that they did not need him, so they bought him out, which means they came to an agreement and paid him a certain amount of money, paid out his full contract. And now he will become a free agent by Friday. So there's a couple of teams out there. He said he only wants to sign with contending teams, contending for titles, the championships. Some of the teams. So let's look at the teams that he will sign, are interested in signing him. The first team is the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls are injured and they do need players. They lost Derrick Rose for the season again. They traded Luol Deng to the Cavaliers, so they do not have him. So basically right now, their leading scorer right now is Carlos Boozer. They also got DJ Augustine, Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler, Joakim Noah. But they really don't have another scorer who can create shots for themselves like Danny Granger can. Even though Danny Granger, he's only played 29 games this year. He's only averaging 8.3 points per game, but he came off an injury. He wasn't the guy no more in Indiana because Paul George has evolved into a star player, and they also have David West, George Hill. So he wasn't getting the time that he was supposed to be getting, that he used to get when he was a star player. So I don't think it's good for him to go to Chicago, but it's a possibility because he will help them. There's no doubt. He will help them, but if he wants to win a title, Chicago's not the place to go because Chicago is in the playoffs. They are in the playoff picture. But they are not a team that is expected to win the title. So he would help them. He would start. Danny Granger, if he did go to the Chicago Bulls, he would become an instant starter because their starting small forward right now is Mike Dunleavy. He's averaging 11.2 points per game. And Mike Dunleavy, he can't create his own shot. He's a guy that stands outside behind the three-point line and just waits. He needs a point guard that has to get by his man, and then his guy helps, and then they kick it out to Mike Dunleavy, and he shoots threes. And he's very consistent in shooting threes. He's shooting about 30 to 35%. But he's not a Danny Granger. Danny Granger is a guy who can create his own shot, like I said, and he will help Chicago, but if he does want to win a title, Chicago's not the place to go. So Chicago is an option, and also maybe one of the reasons why he does want to go back to Chicago is because Chicago's in the same division as Indiana, so maybe he wants to get a revenge against the Indiana Pacers who traded him and say, you guys gave up on me too early. Try to get some revenge. But Chicago is a possibility, but not the best possibility. From my opinion, it's not the best possibility because he won't. He's not. If he wants to win a title, which he does, which I'm pretty sure he does, he's been in there 8 years. He's 30 years old. You know, he's getting up there. He's coming off an injury. He's been injured the last 2 years, missed a lot of time. So his body's not as durable as it was his first 6 years of the league. So if he wants to win a title, which I know he does, Chicago is not the place to go. Plain and simple. Chicago is not the place to go, but Chicago's a possibility, and it's a good possibility. If he wants playing time, Chicago's a place to go. But I don't think he should go there because Chicago's not a championship contender at this time. Next spot where he could go is the Houston Rockets. Now, not like in Chicago where if Danny Granger did go to Chicago, he would instantly start. Here, if he went to Houston, he would not start because they're just, their starting five is kind of loaded. They got James Harden starting as shooting guard, Dwight Howard's in center, Chandler Parsons, small forward, that's the position Danny Granger plays. They already got Chandler Parsons, a good small forward. He's averaging 16.7 points per game, 5.7 rebounds per game, 3.7 assists per game. He's just on a roll. So Danny Granger, if he did went to Houston, he would not start. But one thing he would do is would help the bench of the Houston Rockets. He would make it more deep. There would be another veteran player who's played at a high level in the NBA coming off the bench for Houston. So it would be a good signing for Houston because Houston's the number 3 seed right now in the Western Conference. People are considering him a championship contender. And it would be a good signing for the Houston Rockets. And it would be a good chance for Danny Granger to win a championship. He would help them a lot. He wouldn't have to score 20 points a game. He would only have to score, like he's scoring right now, maybe 8 to 10 points, 8 to 10 to 15 points per game coming off the bench, not playing a lot of time, which will help his body risk. It will help the body he won't have a high risk of getting injured because he will not be playing a lot of minutes. And he would give the starters some rest. So like in the playoffs, it's a long season. They play 82 games, but then the playoff time, it's more intense. So he'll give like Chandler Parsons or a James Harden like time to rest without the player's ability dropping off, because Danny Granger is still a very good player. He just hasn't played a lot. He's been coming off injury, so he hasn't been given the chance to let him get back to where he was. So if he went to Houston, he would not start, but he would come off the bench, and he would help them out, even making Houston an even stronger championship contender going on forward, competing with Oklahoma City, the Los Angeles Clippers, Miami Heat, Indiana Pacers. So it's a good fit for both parties, talking about Danny Granger and the Houston Rockets. We'll see what happens, but that's a good fit for both of them. Another spot where Danny Granger is thinking on going is the Los Angeles Clippers, and ESPN just reported that he's leaning towards signing with the Los Angeles Clippers. That is his number one team. He would like to come and play for the Los Angeles Clippers. And again, he might start. It's not a for sure, but he might start. The Clippers acquired J.J. Redick and Jared Dudley over the offseason, but J.J. Redick is out for the season. So he's not playing. Jared Dudley hasn't been the same when he was in Houston, in Phoenix. He hasn't been shooting the three as well as he was in Phoenix. So there's some concern there. And the Clippers want to add another swing man to play at the wing. So signing Danny Granger would not be bad. He doesn't need to score a lot because they already have two MVP candidates in Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. They also have Jamal Crawford. So he doesn't need to score a lot, but he needs, you know, maybe 10, like I said, 10 to 15 points will help the Clippers a lot. Because the Clippers are already great without him. They're already a great team without Danny Granger. But signing Danny Granger, they would even become a better team. And it would help them a lot, make them the favorite in the Western Conference over Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, San Antonio Spurs. So they'll be, if they sign Danny Granger, the Clippers will be the favorite to come out of the Western Conference. So this is the team he wants to go to. This is, according to ESPN, this is where he wants to go because they give him the best chance to win the title, according to him. So I like it. It's not a bad fit. Not a bad fit because I don't know what they would do. I don't know. They probably wouldn't start him right away, but maybe have him come off the bench. And maybe once he gets used to the system and used to playing with the players, because that's very important. You can't just throw a guy in there and expect him to do great. He hasn't played with these guys before. It takes time. So maybe have him come off the bench, play 15 to 20 minutes, and then let him get used to the Doc Rivers' system. And get used to playing with, like, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Jamal Crawford. And let him get used to it. And then once he's ready, put him into the starting lineup, get him ready for the playoffs. So that's his best fit, signing with the Clippers. But he's leaning towards the Clippers, but, you know, it's not a for sure thing. Not a for sure thing. So there's another team that Danny Granger is thinking of signing with is the Miami Heat. And if the Miami Heat sign Danny Granger, it's pretty much a wrap. It's pretty much a wrap. Miami is the best team in the league right now. I know they're behind the Indiana Pacers for the top spot in the Eastern Conference, but it's not playoff time yet, guys. It's not playoff time yet. So the Heat always turn it up when it's playoff time. They always, you know, crank the volume when it's playoff time. If they sign Danny Granger, they'll be just stacked, loaded. Danny Granger would come off the bench, obviously, because Heat already have LeBron James is the best player in the world. They got Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Mario Chalmers, Ray Allen, Michael Beasley, Norris Cole, Chris Birdman Anderson, Shane Battier, and the list just goes on. They will be stacked. And Danny Granger, again, wouldn't have to score. He wouldn't have to score a lot because scoring, he just has to be there and contribute like Ray Allen did last year for the Miami Heat. Or like, because Ray Allen, when he was with Boston, he needed to score 15 to 20 points per game. But when he came to Miami, all he needed to do was do what he was brought in to do, and that was shoot threes, make threes, and just play at a consistent level. He didn't have to score 15 to 20 points per game when he signed with Miami, because that scoring's already, they already have that on check, because they got LeBron James who averages 27 points per game. They got Dwayne Wade who's averaging 18.8 points per game, and Chris Bosh is averaging 17.1 points per game. So if Danny Granger does sign with Miami, it'll make them the best team in the league. Because they're already the best. Like, it's Indiana, Miami. It's like push an edge. But if the Miami Heat do sign Danny Granger, the Heat will become will become the best team in the league, because they got a bunch of veteran guys who know their role, and do what they're supposed to do and not selfish, don't complain, and just do what they're supposed to do. So if Danny Granger signs with Miami, that will be a big, big, big boost for Miami. Another team that's thrown out there, I don't think that's thrown out there for Granger to sign with, is the Phoenix Suns. And the main reason why is because the Phoenix Suns, they're actually, the Phoenix Suns has surprised a lot of people. They are in the play. They are, if the season ended today, they would be in the playoffs. So they're, the Phoenix Suns are a good team. They got Goran Dragic, who should have been an all-star this year. They have Eric Bledsoe, Gerald Green. So if Danny Granger does decide to sign with Phoenix, he would become a starter, or yeah, he would become a starter. They would have Eric Bledsoe, Goran Dragic, and then they would replace Gerald Green with Danny Granger. And a main reason why Danny Granger would go to the Phoenix Suns is because of their training staff. The Phoenix Suns have the best training staff in the league. And, you know, Danny Granger coming off two serious injuries the past 2 years, that would help him and his career a lot. For example, Steve Nash, when he was with the Phoenix Suns, and Amari Stoudemire when they were the Phoenix Suns, they were pretty old players. Steve Nash was 36, 37, 38 years old. And he didn't miss no games, wasn't injured, played every game, didn't take breaks. He didn't like take games off. And that's because, he gave a lot of credit to the Phoenix Suns training staff. But then once Steve Nash left and went to the Los Angeles Lakers, he got injured in the first two games, and he's been injured most of his time with the Los Angeles Lakers. So there's proof. And also, again, Amari Stoudemire wasn't hurt, didn't get hurt often with the Phoenix Suns, left for New York, the Knicks, got hurt. Now look at it, he comes off the bench, and he hasn't been the same player since he's left Phoenix. So Danny Granger, if he wants his body to stay durable, maybe Phoenix Suns and the training staff, maybe he goes there and helps a young team out, maybe make a big splash in the Western Conference final, in the Western Conference playoffs, I should say. And the last team, and this is Danny Granger's second favorite choice, it goes Clippers, and then it goes the San Antonio Spurs. And the San Antonio, he would come off the bench as well, add depth. To the San Antonio Spurs. And the San Antonio Spurs, always people say, oh, they're too old, they're not gonna be there, they're done. And they, people say that every year, but look at them, they're always there. They made it to the finals last year, should have won if they would have got a defensive rebound in game six, and they would be the NBA champions and not the Miami Heat, who are the back-to-back champions. So if they add Danny Granger, they would just make their team more deep and help them for the playoffs. He would help them for the playoffs. Danny Granger would help any team he signs with. But so we'll see what happens. But according to ESPN, he is leaning towards signing with the Clippers. So we'll see what happens. So we will see. We will see. This is radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to Ball is Life with Jay Smoove. We'll be back after this break.
Bye.
Welcome back to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. This is my show, Ball is Life. I am Jay Smooth. Welcome back. Thank you for listening as well. Next topic we're going to talk about is the story about Jason Collins. If you guys don't know who Jason Collins is, he came out over the summer as being gay. And a couple days ago, he was signed by the Brooklyn Nets. So he became the first openly gay athlete to play in a major sport in the United States. And, you know, I was happy for him. I really was happy for him. And it shows that the game, all sports, is evolving. And he got a big standing ovation. Got a big reaction from the Los Angeles crowd because they were playing the Lakers. They were playing the Lakers in Los Angeles. So, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with being openly gay and playing sports. That shouldn't affect you, because if you're good at what you do, if you're good at the sport that you play, your sexual orientation shouldn't affect how you are looked at and how you are treated. If you're a good player, you're a good player, and you should do what you, that shouldn't affect you. Being gay shouldn't affect your ability to play. I don't get it, but yeah. So he came out as openly gay. He got signed to a 10-day contract with the Nets, and he played against the Lakers. He didn't do much. He had 2 rebounds. That's it. He didn't play a lot. He played 11 minutes, and he's not a Jason Collins. He's never been like a really superstar player. He's always been that veteran or that guy you sign, that you put on your bench, that knows his role and knows what he's supposed to be doing. So it was a very historic moment when he went onto the floor and played, because he's the first one. And also he's given courage to other athletes, or given hope to these other athletes who are gay, who haven't came out yet. And he's given them hope that, you know, you could come out and say that you are gay, and it shouldn't affect you. Don't be afraid. Just be who you are. Be you. Don't worry about what other people think. They don't matter. It's you who matters. So, like, this Michael Sam, he's NFL prospect coming out of college. He came out and said he was gay. And he's going to be the first openly gay player to play in the NFL. And Jason Collins had a big influence on having Michael Sam come out and saying that he's gay. So Jason Collins is just the beginning, because I believe that down the road, in the future, maybe the next 4 or 5 years, players are going to start coming out and saying they're gay. And it shouldn't be a problem, because it doesn't affect the way they play the game. They're paid to play the game. So it doesn't matter if they're gay or not. Teams, owners, and even players shouldn't look down on these players that coming out that are gay, because it doesn't matter, because they are paid to play the games. That's all that matters, is what they do, is how they support or how they contribute to the team to win games. That's the main thing in sports, is to win games and how players contribute to win these games. Doesn't matter if they like women, men. Doesn't matter if they like women or men. All that matters is playing the game and doing what they're supposed to do. And Jason Collins has done what he's done, has done what he's supposed to do for 10 years. He's a 10-year veteran who's done what he's supposed to have done. He's done the little things, set the screens for players, for the star players to score their points, rebounds, play defense, support his teammates. So I give him, you know, he deserves a round of applause. He deserves props for coming out and saying, yeah, I'm gay. And what? So, but the one thing that kind of surprised me was that it got national news, national headlines for being a gay athlete, an opening gay player playing in the first game. But it really wasn't nationally televised. Maybe it's because, you know, Jason Collins isn't a big name player. People didn't know who Jason Collins was before he came out and said that he was openly gay. So that's what kind of, like, I thought, and to be honest, in my opinion, that the game should have been, you know, gotten more attention, which it didn't. It didn't get a lot of as much as attention that I thought it should get, or I thought it would get. Or maybe it's because both teams are real bad, but that shouldn't matter, because this is history. This is an historic moment. He was the first openly gay player to play in any major sport. We're talking about NBA, the NFL, MLB, NHL. He's the first one who came out and then he played. He's openly gay and played in the game, and then didn't get as much coverage or attention that I thought it should get. And maybe it's because no one knew Jason Collins is not a big name player. Because I guarantee if one of these top athletes came out and said that they were gay, that game would have got national coverage. It would have been on ABC or ESPN or NBA TV. They would have been talking about it for the whole year. So maybe it's because Jason Collins wasn't a big player, but that shouldn't, I felt like it should have gotten more attention, but you know, what can you do? What can you do? But Jason Collins deserves a lot of credit for coming out. And, you know, I respect him for doing that because that takes a lot of courage, a lot of courage, because, you know, these athletes in these sports, some of them may be okay with it and some of them, you know, are probably not okay with having a gay teammate. So it took a lot of courage, and I respect him for doing that. And, you know, Jason Collins, to be honest, he won't be a major player, a major contributor to the team, to the Nets, because the Nets were kind of already fine without him, but they did need more depth in the backcourt because Brooke Lopez is hurt. Kevin Garnett's old, so they did need players. And Jason Collins is a good player. He's a very good backup center in the NBA, and he's proved it. You don't get a 10-year career in the NBA if you're not good at what you do. If you don't do what you're supposed to do. So Jason Collins is a good player, and that's why the Nets signed him. I don't think the Nets signed him because he was gay. The Nets just signed him because he's a veteran who's been in the league for 10 years, knows what he's supposed to do, and he was going to help the team. So Jason Collins is he's a very good player, a very good veteran player, and deserves a lot of respect for coming out and being gay and not being afraid of what other people think. And not being afraid of, you know, because fans are dirt. They're real, real. They can be real, real bad, real cruel, you know. And he thought all about all these possibilities and what happened, what will happen, and what was going to happen. And he said, you know, that doesn't matter. I just want to be happy and, you know, come out and live my life the way I want to live my life. And I respect him for that. He should, you know, and he's also helped, like I said before, he's also helped these other athletes who are gay but who haven't came out yet. And he's helping them out, letting them know that they can come out and it's okay. And it's not that big of a deal as other people think it is. And it shouldn't be a problem with their teammates or the owners or these teams. So happy for Jason Collins because he is a good player who deserved to be signed in the summer but wasn't. But he's gotten his chance with the Brooklyn Nets, so hopefully the Brooklyn Nets keep him throughout the season and maybe through the playoffs, because he is on a 10-day contract, which means he only has 10 days, and if the Nets don't think he has what it takes, they can let him go, or they can sign him to another second 10-day contract. So we'll see what happens, but Jason Collins deserves a lot of respect because of the courageous act that he did. And he made history. He is the first openly gay player to play in a major sport. So, you know, we got to give him a lot of credit. And I wish him the best of luck because he deserves it. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu, and we will be back after this break. Welcome back to Ball is Life. I am your host, Jay Smooth. Before we get started with our last topic, I'd like to shout out and wish good luck to our men's basketball team here at Dominican University. They played Saturday against Notre Dame. So shout out. They're on a 9-game winning streak. So hopefully let's get it to 10, guys. So good luck to them. They play again Saturday against Notre Dame at 5. So last topic is about why, after the season, Pau Gasol and the Lakers should just part ways and just say, you know, we had a good run, we won 2 championships, and just, you know, part ways and say, just end it, have a nice divorce, a nice, clean divorce, not a messy divorce. Pau Gasol if you do not know, the Lakers have been trying to trade Pau Gasol for the last, for every day since the last, their last title, their last championship victory. Pau Gasol has been on the trading block for two to two and a half years now. He's woken up every day just wondering, will I be a Laker today? Or what team should I play for? He was, technically, he was traded to the Houston Rockets in that Chris Paul trade a couple years ago. He was traded for, Chris Paul was supposed to come to the Lakers in a three-team deal that would have sent Pau Gasol to the Rockets and Lamar Odom to the New Orleans Hornets. But, you know, the trade was vetoed by the NBA because the NBA owned the Hornets at that time, which they're the Pelicans now, but the NBA owned the Hornets because they didn't have an owner. And the NBA saw the, looked at, reviewed the trade and came to a decision that it didn't benefit the Hornets for the future. And so the NBA, the commissioner at that time, David Stern, vetoed the trade. And then next thing you know, Chris Paul's coming to Los Angeles in the trade, but not with, to the Lakers, to the Los Angeles Clippers. And the, and you, everything, everyone knows what happens. The, you know, the Lakers suddenly decline and are now one of the worst teams in the league. And the Clippers become, come from being the one of the worst teams in the league to being now an NBA title contender. But Pau Gasol hasn't, he's, everyone thought he was going to get traded in the offseason before the season or even during the season. Everyone was saying the Lakers are going to trade Pau Gasol, and he's still with the Lakers because the Lakers decided not to trade him, or didn't find, they didn't get what they wanted for Pau Gasol. No one was offering what the Lakers wanted. So he's with the Lakers, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. And I think the Lakers want to re-sign him, or are having that, you know, that feeling like, oh, they want to re-sign him because, you know, he's been there for 4 years now, 4 to 5 years. But it's just time to part ways. It is. It's time to part ways. It's hard to say, but it's time to part ways. They just, they both need to go in their opposite direction. The Lakers need to get younger. They need to sign more athletic players and just start rebuilding from fresh. And Pau Gasol, who's at the later, at the end of his career, you know, he can sign with a team that he can, that can help, that he can help win a championship. So Pau Gasol, don't get me wrong, Pau Gasol is one of the best power forwards still in this game, but he's just, there's just, he needs a change of scenery. He's the top player who needs a change of scenery, that needs to be on a new team, because the fans in Los Angeles, they're not appreciating him as much as they should. Like when he first came to the Lakers and took them to the finals, even though they lost to the Celtics, and then won the two championships after that year, after he came to the Lakers, the Laker fans appreciated him, and they were glad to have him. And now the fans, they really, really just don't want him no more. They don't appreciate him as much as they should. They appreciate him a little bit, but you know, they don't appreciate him as much as they should. And he needs a new team. He needs to be in a new city who will appreciate him as much as he needs to be appreciated. So, and it's just, it's been sad watching him the last couple of years, just Is he going to get traded or is he not going to get traded? Is he going to get traded? Like, 1 week, he's definitely getting traded. And then the next week, it's okay. We're going to keep him. The Lakers didn't make up their mind, so he's going to just finish the season out with the Lakers. And it would be in his best interest just to leave and just to sign with a new team. It'd actually be for both parties, in Pau Gasol and the Los Angeles Lakers. They both need just to walk away from each other. Just need to say, you know, we thank you for these great 4-5 years for playing with us, for winning us 2 championships. You're a great player. You'll always be remembered in Lakers history, but the Lakers should tell Pau Gasol that, you know, we owe you to just let you walk away and compete for a title with a different team, because the Lakers are not ready to compete for a title. And I know Kobe Bryant doesn't want to hear this, but they're not. And Kobe Bryant doesn't want to hear that the Lakers should let Pau Gasol go, because Pau and Kobe have become really good friends on and off the court. Kobe calls him Pau Gasol his brother, but he's going to be hurt, because Kobe Bryant was even hurt when the Lakers traded Steve Blake to the Golden State Warriors. He didn't like the move, so he's not going to like the Lakers just letting Pau Gasol walk and go to a different team. But it's in the best interest of both parties. Pau Gasol needs to play for a new team. And I think he'll play better with a new team, because if you watch him with the Lakers and you watch him during the games, he just looks frustrated, like he doesn't want to be there. And, you know, why would he? The Lakers have been trying to trade him, like, for the last 2 years. He doesn't like the coach, Mike D'Antoni, and D'Antoni doesn't like him. D'Antoni doesn't know how to use Pau Gasol. He hasn't had a 7-footer who can do what Pau Gasol does, and Mike D'Antoni doesn't know what to do with it. He's like that kid who their parents bought him a new toy, but he doesn't know how to use the new toy. It's kind of sad, because if D'Antoni would have figured out how to use Pau Gasol, the Lakers wouldn't be as bad as they are. So and you can see it, like, you can sense that he's leaving, because he came out and said that the Lakers aren't disciplined a couple of nights ago after they lost. He said the Lakers aren't disciplined. And then Mike D'Antoni came out and said that, oh, he appreciated Pau Gasol saying something about the Lakers losing ways and appreciated getting on the team, but he should have kept it in house and not tell the media. But you can see Pau Gasol is kind of fed up with Mike D'Antoni, kind of fed up with management. So, you know, he's going to leave, or he should leave. He shouldn't come back. Don't come back, Pau. Don't come back. Don't go back to the Lakers, because that is not in your best interest. Just leave. And the Lakers, and even if Pau Gasol does want to come back, even the Lakers should be appealed to it. Like, oh, we could bring back Pau Gasol. He's a good veteran. They shouldn't. They should not bring him back. The Lakers shouldn't bring him back, because the Lakers are old. The Lakers are real old. They got a 40-year-old point guard in Steve Nash. They got Kobe Bryant, who's coming off an Achilles injury, who hasn't really played a lot this year. So the Lakers need to get younger. They need to get younger in the draft by drafting young guys. And they're going to get younger by signing free agents, because they have a lot. They got some money to spend, because the Lakers have other needs and other priorities than Pau Gasol. So they need just to let Pau Gasol go and just let him walk. The Lakers would benefit from letting Pau Gasol go. They would. And plus, if the Lakers are going to sign Pau Gasol, Pau Gasol is going to get not a big contract, but he's not going to get a small contract. He's going to get one of those contracts where he's going to make $10 to $12 million a year. someone's going to pay Pau Gasol $10 to $12 million a year, and the Lakers don't want to do that because if what I'm hearing from all the reports is correct that the Lakers want to sign Kevin Love or they want to sign Carmelo Anthony or LeBron James, they can't afford giving Pau Gasol $10 to $12 million a year. They already gave Kobe Bryant an two-year extension for $48.5 million. They're paying Kobe $20 million a year, even more. Kobe's one of the probably the highest player in the league. So giving Pau Gasol a $10 to $12 million contract a year is not in the Lakers' best interest, and they shouldn't do it. They should just evaluate the young players that they have on their team, like Kent Bazemore. Kent Bazemore, he played for Golden State, got traded for Steve Blake, came over here, has been playing good. He's been using this time to prove to the NBA or to show to the NBA what he's got, and he's actually a good player. He actually scored his career high of 23 points last night against the Memphis Grizzlies. So he's a good piece that the Lakers should look into keeping. Marshawn Brooks has been doing good. Nick Young, he's hurt right now, but he's another player that the Lakers should keep and build for the and should use him for the future. Ryan Cali from Duke, he's a power forward that can stretch the floor and shoot, and that fits with Mike D'Antoni's system. So the Lakers have young players and pieces that they can build around, put around Kobe and build around. And even so, when Kobe does leave, the Lakers are not in a bad position or in a bad spot because they can also contend without him. So the Lakers need to draft players, sign younger free agents, more athletic guys, because the Lakers are very, very unathletic. They're an unathletic team. They're old, and they need to get younger. And that's been the main problem with the Lakers for the last 5 to 6 years is that they were old and they were unathletic and they were slow paced. They won two titles. Don't get me wrong. They won two championships back to back. But they need to get younger. They've needed to get younger for a while. And this is the time to start doing it. Because if they don't and re-sign Pau Gasol and have Kobe and Steve Nash, it's going to be the same. So they need to let Pau Gasol walk. And Pau Gasol needs... It's going to benefit Pau Gasol as well because he's frustrated right now. Like I said before, he's frustrated playing with the Lakers. You can see it. Like, he needs a new start. He needs the clean slate. He needs to go to a team and a city where it is new to him and they don't expect as much as the Los Angeles fan base or the Lakers fans do, because Los Angeles fans, they expect a lot. If you're not winning, they don't want you. If you're not winning, they'll turn on you quick. Trust me. LA fans, once Los Angeles fans are your greatest friend, or your best friend when you're winning titles for them, or you're at least there in the hunt. But once you start losing, they'll turn on you like that. They will turn on you. So he needs to go to a team and a city that will appreciate him as much as he needs to be appreciated. He needs a fresh start, and it will help his career out. I'm pretty sure if he does leave the Lakers this year, after this year, and he signs with a new team, I'm pretty sure, I'm not going to guarantee it, but I'm pretty sure he will be an all-star next year if he does sign with a new team. Because Pau Gasol, even though he's at an older age, he still has the ability to become an all-star. He still has the ability to score 17 to 20 points and average 10 to 13 rebounds a game. And he's from Spain, so you know those Spains, they like to shoot, so he can still shoot from 15 feet. He can shoot from 15 feet. He can actually handle the ball real well for a 7-footer. But that's, they teach you that overseas. So, main point here, it's going to benefit both parties in the Lakers and Pau Gasol. They need to part ways, and they should do it cleanly. They come out together and say, hey, you know, we had a good run. We won 2 championships. I had a fun time here, but it's time for me to go and pursue a championship because the Lakers are not a championship contender. So Pau Gasol needs to leave the Lakers once the season over. I'd like to thank everyone for listening today. We had a great show. I am Jay Smoove. This is Ball is Live. Join me again next Thursday from noon to 1, same time. You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.